Welcome to Soul Up. I'm Kayleen Welsh, your guide to a lighter life. Thanks for listening. In this episode, I want to talk about stress, anxiety, and fear. These difficult yet motivating emotions are dominating our airwaves. The energy is all around us, right? I mean, it's our task now to figure out how to respond effectively. So we all need to build up our emotional regulation skills. Life is crazy, and we all feel the pressure of all of that. So we need to figure out how to best manage our own emotion, manage it, and be aware. So through this episode, we will look at big fears as well as the deceptive little fears that sneak into our lives and show up in our behavior, our interactions, and our ability to make choices. Stress levels right now are off the charts. You know, and it's legit, right? We face many real fears. And if we're going to get through this level of change and transformation that we're in the midst of, we all need to bring our best skills forward. Chaos and discord is the frequency that's filling our airwaves, and it's easy to get caught in the web of dysregulated emotional states. Now, fear is a big word that most of us don't really want to claim. It's kind of like the word feelings. It's another F word. We prefer to think that we're tough and, you know, invulnerable, that we can get through whatever comes our way. So we minimize and deflect. We're really much more willing to acknowledge words like stress or worry. And in fact, I see anxiety as the real pandemic of our time. Rates of diagnosed clinical anxiety have risen steadily since COVID and are now off the charts. And fear, it's infectious and contagious. And in fact, I would say that if you aren't feeling some anxiety about life right now, you aren't paying attention. It's an energy that goes hand in hand with change. Big or little, call it fear or anxiety, they're emotional states that are related and they show up similarly. They resonate together vibrationally and they build on each other. And unless they are addressed, they have a detrimental effect on all levels of our being, physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual. Just considering their effect on the body, which is the carrier of our experiences, fear and anxiety, stress, they amp up our nervous system. They burn off our telomeres, you know, which is a factor in our aging. They restrict our brain and our body function. We get a surge. They send a surge of negative chemicals through our system, and they accelerate our heart rate. And what else? How much more? You know, we become irritable and overwhelmed, and completely we function much less effectively. It is not helpful when fear, stress, worry, anxiety take over. Now, a tricky part here is that human beings are actually hardwired for fear. It's our innate drive for safety and survival. We have this really great, miraculous system that's designed to give us the adrenaline, the boost, the chemicals we need when we face a life or death situation. What is problematic is that we can get caught in that highly reactive state over day-to-day experiences. Our body chemistry responds to our emotional state. So when stress becomes an underlying or pervasive state, it holds us in a place of high alert. It just keeps us on edge all the time. You know, we're ready to react for whatever comes next. And that's a lot of pressure on our system. It gets to the point where our system has a hard time relaxing. It can't let go. It's on edge all the time. So it is helpful to recognize that fear gains power when it's denied, when we don't really acknowledge to ourselves that that's what's happening for us. When we don't notice it, when we don't attend to it, then it builds. It tends to grow. Conversely, fear, anxiety, stress, when they take over, they drain our personal power. Our personal power goes right out the window. We can think maybe we have power because maybe, you know, it pushes us into some action or anger or some reactive kind of response. But most of the time that's not effective. You know, typically, I mean, very often, we don't even recognize how much we're getting caught in it. You know, fear, anxiety, it lies underneath our level of conscious awareness until something shakes it into our awareness, shocks us, triggers us into some kind of reactive state. And then we overreact. So whether it's our physical safety that feels threatened or our emotional safety, whether our fears are real, potential, illusionary, the energy of unacknowledged or untamed fear has a huge impact on our physiology, our consciousness, our life experience, and our overall well-being. Fear causes turbulence in our energy field. It throws everything off balance. When the mind is focused on fear, the energy flow to the various body organs changes. So we know that chemical changes in the body reflect our emotional state. So, like, right, we get a burst of adrenaline when somebody pulls out in front of us if we're driving home from work. So our body processes the emotion, remembering that the energy in motion that was our fear, and we go on. A lot of the time, though, that energy doesn't get processed. It doesn't get processed until it gets triggered somehow. And right now, I've got this world that is just caught in this web of fear. It's alive and well, our fear-based world. All you have to do is listen to the news to hear horrible natural disasters. I mean, we've got this crazy political situation, manipulation, upheaval, uncertainty, confusion, cruelty, tragedies. You know, we listen to the news and we hear about the next disease that's coming at us or, you know, what's happening to the destruction of the earth. The list goes on. And these fears are very scary. They are legit. They are also easy to see, right? Some of these are right in front of our face. So our task is to face them, to see them, acknowledge them. And when we are able to do that, we create the power to choose a response. That's one of the most important things to know about fear. If we don't acknowledge it, it has the power. When we operate from a place of fear, we just bring on more fear. I mean, that's a law of resonance. We pick up the vibe of what's around us. You know, if you start a room full of metronomes all at a different place, it's only a matter of time before they start moving at the same rhythm. You know, that's the law of resonance. And that's what happens. We can easily get caught. So the first thing that's really important to do is to be able to recognize when fear is taking over. And there's a few, like, kind of rather deceptive ways that it shows up in your life that you may not really recognize it as fear. So there's a few ways that we have gotten really good at avoiding it or denying it. And so I want to go through a few of those. First one to look at is procrastination. Of course, we all know what that is. Putting things off, you know, being indecisive, complacent, just not really doing anything. That's fear showing up in the disguise of procrastination. Avoidance keeps you from taking action. And really, and what that does is it allows you to stay safe on the sidelines. An example of this is, you know, the person that's perpetually researching and preparing. You know, you can feel like you're doing something when in reality you're just kind of stuck and fearful of taking action toward what might really be important. Stewing on something is another way that this shows up. We think about it, fuss about it, worry, talk about it, but that's as far as it goes. When you really are able to face your fear head on, motivation and mission replace procrastination. We find our whys and our motivation for action. Another way that fear typically shows up for people is through control. Control is a fear response. You know, it's thinking we have everything figured out. You know, we have the answers or we know what's best. And when that gets triggered in us, we quickly become self-righteous and judgmental. When this fear reaction occurs, we close off. We really lose our ability to listen or learn. The focus becomes on convincing or justifying, and our stance becomes rigid and unyielding. So it's easy to fall into control and micromanaging when we're scared, when we're afraid of what may happen. Yet control is an illusion. We may be able to influence, yet, as you likely already recognize, there are actually very few circumstances or people that we are able to control. Another way we avoid really looking at fear is busyness. When you keep yourself busy, you don't have time to get a good look at what's really going on in your life. So if you find yourself rushing from morning until night, it can be helpful to look a little closer and ask, you know, is there something that I'm avoiding? We justify, right? You know, we may really think we need to do this. You know, we're in this rat race and we got to get this done and that done and everything. But it isn't healthy. Keeping busy and racing from task to task like that, duty to duty, just keeps us in a constant state of stress response. Flight or fight. Your nervous system gets stuck on high alert. And, you know, what happens then is we forget things. You know, we can't find the car keys, or we can't find that paper that was so important. We forget things. We can't find what we need, and we make stupid mistakes. That's what happens when we're operating from this state of high alert, and it's kind of like almost the edge of panic. Busyness, like any addiction, keeps us numb and avoidant. Another way fear settles in that may be kind of sneaky and we don't notice is, I guess I call it stagnation. When stagnation settles in, you know what, we just kind of settle. You know, we forget our dreams. We compromise and accept, you know, we're being realistic. Dreams get viewed as foolish. And really, you know, what's the point becomes the motto when stagnation sets in. It's a devastating symptom of the fear that what we hope for isn't really possible. Whew, that's just a scary thing to even think about, isn't it? It sets off a decline into a loss of vitality and a loss of enthusiasm for life, where we kind of become the walking gnome, the walking dead. Another way fear really can show up and we don't really see it that way is through our excuses. It may feel like we have a legitimate reason for not taking action on things that we think are important to us, or we say that they're important. When that happens, it's really likely to be fear in disguise. You know, there's something that's stopping us. There's some fear that's blocking us. So when we find ourselves saying we're going to do something and we don't, we need to take a look at what is the fear that is behind our non-action. Many of us tend to do this, you know, we can do this often. And actually, it weakens your solar plexus, your power center. So you don't want to do that. You want to do what you say you're going to do. If you're not going to do it, don't say it. But, you know, we've all used excuses like these, right? You know, I don't have enough, connections, time, training, money. I'm not experienced enough, smart enough, healthy enough. I'm too busy, or too in debt, or too young, or too old. Excuses, they allow us to self-sabotage, and they really just let fear prevail. Another way that fear shows up for us that we, again, may not recognize is challenging mood states. Fear essentially causes an inner pain, and we can feel it on some kind of level in our body. So it shows up as some kind of anxiety, depression, restlessness, fatigue. Fear often appears as anger. You know, we can get all riled up, fired up about how we've been done wrong or what somebody's doing. Yet when we look a little deeper, we can see that there's a fear underneath. It's a fear for our safety or of our worth, or maybe we have fear of abandonment, fear of being unlovable, fear of being harmed. There's a fear that's often underneath those negative mood states. And really, we just use all those mood states to dress up fear in a more socially acceptable way. So it's so important to make the time to compassionately explore whatever your mood is trying to tell you. For some, fear may be showing up as silence, isolation. You avoid speaking up. Really, you just kind of go dark. You go silent. You don't stand up for what you believe in. You lose yourself in others and won't let your voice be heard. You don't tell people when they've hurt your feelings. You're too afraid to ask for what you really want. Not expressing the truth of who you are and standing in your own integrity is a painful expression of fear. But when you can let love lead, follow your inner voice, and be brave enough to speak your truth, you do find your soul community. You'll find your people. And it's there that trust and intimacy grows. And one of the other big heavy ways that fear shows up is pessimism. We see this in people that just look at life through that negative lens. You know, when you look at life and just continuously find all the things that are wrong in it, you are looking through fear-based eyes. It is tipped out of balance. Complaining, worrying, criticizing, comparing, judging, these are all symptoms of an underlying fear, and it can be easy to get caught in a worldview that only sees the negative, especially when there's so much whirling around about this is wrong, or that's wrong, or this is going to happen, or that's going to happen, or this is, they're doing this, or oh my God, they're doing that. You know, it can get really easy to get caught in all of that that's wrong. So be conscious of how you're taking in that information. Be aware of how, whether it's slipping you down the negativity rabbit hole. Life of Pi offers us some wisdom. Here's a quote. "I must say a word about fear. It's life's only true opponent. Only fear can defeat life." I think that's one of the main reasons why this is such an important topic right now. We are all striving for a good life. We are all wanting. I'm not sure that it matters which side of any political fence or religious fence or cultural fence. We are all just wanting to be able to live life. And it's fear of what's going to happen that takes us away from that. So our task is to face our fear, to see it, care for it, and address it. We want to figure out its causes as best as we are able and respond to them as effectively as we are able. Now, our options for responses may feel limited, but this is where we really need to be getting our brain all the oxygen it needs for optimal functioning. You know, we can see steps and take action. You know, when we're healthy, when we're able to, like, breathe and hold our body in a place of positive functioning, it can see steps and take action. We can come up with new ideas and out-of-the-box solutions. It's so important to look at the things that we're feeling the fear about and do what we can. You know, maybe we could prepare a care bag or an emergency plan for just in case there is some kind of natural disaster. Or maybe we need to become more politically active or explore more sources of information or whatever we can do to, like, keep ourselves looking at the issue that's causing us concern. You know, maybe we could focus on building networks and community so we can pool resources if we need to, if there's some kind of thing in the future. You know, maybe we could learn to grow our own food. If we're worried about our financial future, you know, look, what can we do? Probably lots of options. Look for ways to stash some extra cash or consider ways to downsize or reduce spending. And if we are concerned for the well-being of people that we care about, we can be a voice for them. We can be advocates. We can speak. When we are able to bring in loving action, we neutralize the fear. guess I feel like I need to say that again. When we bring in loving action, we neutralize the fear. We take away its power. We all have skills, interests, and knowledge to bring to the table. So I encourage you to find your wheelhouse and pick something that you can do. Use your expertise. Take action for greater good. The source of the fear may still be there, but the energy of fear loses power. When we hold to our values, operate from the heart, our core, which, interesting enough, the root of the word courage. When we are able to operate from the heart and can show up aligned in integrity, that is when we hold our power. With courage, we access our strength. So here are some strategies to minimize the negative effect of fear. The first one I offer is just be aware. Simply pay attention to your inner state. Recognize when you slip into problematic and repetitive thought patterns. Tune into your feelings. You're going to be getting body sensations if you can tune in, and they serve as your early warning system. If you're paying attention, you can reach into your stress management toolbox and deal with escalating anxiety before it gets big. If you're not paying attention, your worrisome thoughts can quickly escalate. And like any emotion, I mean, remember, anxiety, any emotion is energy in motion. So if your anxiety gets too big, it will burst. It will erupt into a panic attack, a harsh outburst of some kind, some rash action, some kind of physical distress, all of which are detrimental. So be aware of your own inner state. The second one is stay present and mindful. Fear takes its most insistent hold when we project it into the future. Our challenge is to stay with what is happening in the moment. Projecting negative possibilities into a future time takes away your power in the present. You want to remain aware of all that is occurring in your life. By being present, you create space to notice and take it all in, the difficult and the good. So you get to be right there for the hug, or to notice the warmth of the sun, or to relish the breeze. Use your senses to stay attuned. Get some good smells going in your diffuser. You know, let those senses bring you back to your body. Rose oil has been my go-to. To get through this together, we need to develop a both-and mindset. Without the ability to see the good, we get lost in the mire. When we focus on all good, we become superfluous and superficial. We need the balance of both and. To break out of our fear patterns, we need to be aware and disrupt repetitive thinking. So become aware of your stream of thought and repetitive conversations. Are you saying the same things over and over again? Thinking the same things over and over again? Notice when you've fallen into negative patterns. Check in with yourself. Are your thoughts rational and based on clear facts or observable data? Are your conversations regurgitating fear, projecting atrocities, stuck in the problem, sort of like gossip? Are you saying the same thing over and over again? If you recognize that you're spinning, which can easily happen, come back to your senses. Go for a walk. You know, Zentangle to get all the squiggles out of your brain. Reorient your brain power toward solutions. Remember all of the difficulties that you found your way through and focus on what you can do. You want to disrupt any repetitive thinking. Another thing to do is really continually work on developing self-supporting behaviors. Dialogue with yourself in ways that are positive and encouraging. super helpful sometimes to talk with a trusted friend or a mentor or a therapist. Gain skills to keep yourself grounded and to calm your nervous system. Learn to set boundaries, to say yes or no. Learn to relax. It's one of the most self-supporting behaviors that we can do, and yet in our amped-up world, it's something that's difficult for a lot of people. Your system needs downtime, so make time for quiet and stillness. Even when life feels heavy and overwhelming, create space for laughter and play. There's nothing like a good belly laugh to be a pressure release valve. Or go outside and connect with nature. Move your body. All of those things are very self-supporting behaviors. And the number one that I talk about all the time is don't forget to breathe. When anxiety takes hold, your body tenses up and your breath becomes constricted and restricted. Shallow breathing feeds anxiety. Oh, we need to take a breath. Relax the body. Taking deep, full breaths with air moving way down into our belly. Really, as we inhale, our belly should expand and then deflate like a balloon when we exhale. It is physiologically impossible to deep breathe and feel anxiety at the same time. Another strategy for working with our fear is to build community. I just think we need each other. Align with those around you, ones that have common values. Keep company with those people who effectively speak their truth and who in turn listen to yours. It's not just about everybody always agreeing. It's about how do you listen to each other? How do you care for each other? It's a great opportunity when we can find a group of people to work with to brainstorm. Where two or three gather, greater things can happen. So spend your time with those who make the choice to live boldly, to be their authentic selves, who operate from a place of high consciousness and human kindness. Part of managing all of this fear energy around us is taking time for self-reflection. Self-awareness is always crucial to transformation, and that's really what we're in, is this huge time of transformation. So make time for silence and self-reflection. Gain clarity around your passions, your priorities, your values. And then really look at, determine whether your actions are in alignment with those passions, priorities, and values. It's not about what anybody else thinks. Step away from the noise of the world and tune into your own heart, your intuition, and your inner guidance. The noise is loud, and it's so important to take time away from it and just sort out for ourselves what feels right. And I guess this last strategy that I want to offer is not always easy either. I guess I encourage you to see where you can trust the universe. Einstein said, the most important decision we make is whether we believe we live in a friendly or hostile universe. And when you believe in a hostile universe, life is scary. But when you can trust that you are held, nurtured, and protected by a guiding intelligence, it's a little easier to relax. So cultivate faith. Explore and deepen your spiritual connection. Engage in regular spiritual practices. How do you, what do you need to do to feel connected, to be a part of something greater? And look for the good, the synchronicities, the miracles that remind you that something greater is going on. Spiritual teacher Marianne Williamson summarizes the concept of fear quite succinctly. She says that in every moment we are either living in love or we're living in fear. When we're living in love, we are aligned with our highest self, our soul, and are moving our life forward in our evolution, transcending into higher expression of our divinity. When we are living in fear, we are aligned with our conditioned self, our wounded self, and we are devolving. We're going backward. The energy of love gets distorted, and really we're moving away from our greater spiritual truth. The universe holds its breath as we choose, instant by instant, moment by moment, individually and collectively, which pathway to follow, fear or love. Every act, thought, and choice adds to the bigger story of humanity. A humanity remembering, finding its way back to its divinity. I want to close with just a couple of quotes. First one's from Eleanor Roosevelt. She said, "You gain strength, courage, and confidence by every experience in which you really stop to look fear in the face. You are able to say to yourself, 'I have lived through this horror. I can take the next thing that comes along.' And you must do the thing that you think you cannot do." Thank you, Eleanor. And then there's a couple of words from Yoda, who said, "Fear is the path to the dark side. Fear leads to anger. Anger leads to hate. Hate leads to suffering." I don't think that's where any of us want to go. Stay present, be brave, and walk in the light. Reach out anytime if you'd like support. www.kayleenwelsh.com. Share this message with those you think might benefit. Many people are struggling and we need each other's support. If you listen on Apple Music or Spotify, I'd really appreciate it if you'd subscribe to the show or leave me a like or a comment. All of that will help me reach more people. And we are in this together. Until next time, shine on.
Oh my goodness gracious, beautiful oasis, with that voice sweet as honey. Birdie in the air, nothing can compare. You're worth more than the whole world's money. Just to hear that sweet voice even brings the bees joy. Pour it on me warm, sweet honey. Every word you say, if you sing it in that way, yeah, you can make a gray sky sunny. Sweet.